You know, I have just been so uplifted, so encouraged, so strengthened, so empowered by what you shared with us today, even though we've only talked a short time. And one of the things that comes out, though, as I think about what we've talked about, Karen, is how we face challenges on an individual level, but we also face challenges on the group level in one way or another for one reason or another. And I'm just kind of captivated by the experience that you just had just a few months ago right there in Charlottesville.
Right. Yes. I mean, my family and I, we live just a quarter of a mile from the University of Virginia and about a half a mile from the rallies that we endured. I'm sure many of you saw it on television, saw it in the news, when a huge group from all over the country of white supremacists came to Charlottesville and rallied here on August 12th. And yeah, we saw it up close. We saw it literally in person. And it was a time of real chaos and fear. It was unbelievable, really, Carl, to see what we saw in front of us. I mean, Charles and I stayed away during the morning when the official rally was going on, but we saw it. We were streaming it live. You know, people with swastikas and Confederate flags. I mean, every symbol of white supremacy and racism proudly on display, and guns too. You know, we have an open carry state. Just a quarter of a mile the night before, these white supremacists had marched with torches, literally torches, right down the center of our university campus. And when I woke up the next morning, there was some hateful literature in my driveway. So it was real. Everything you saw in the news, it was exactly that frightening and that awful and that dark. And, you know, I think as a community, Charlottesville, we've always considered ourselves a very progressive town, a very nice, civilized town. People here are very, you know, we think of ourselves as kind. Charlottesville was once rated, America's happiest town, something like that.
Interesting.
You know, it's just a nice little college town. And so this was completely against everything we considered ourselves to be. And, you know, it's true. Most of these huge public haters came from outside of town. But it was organized by a graduate of the University of Virginia. And in the aftermath of the violence, when all the big buses had gone away and we were left here back in our little town, you know, we were faced with the question of, you know, how much of this racism and how much of this prejudice is here among us? You know, what?
Yes.
It's easy to say, oh, they were outsiders and they came and they invaded and they're gone. This is not our town. This is not our people. But I have to tell you, Carl, it's been a real challenge and I think an important thing to consider our own selves, you know, our own attitudes. And to take a closer look at the history of Charlottesville, at the history of University of Virginia, which was built by slaves. It was built by enslaved laborers. And Thomas Jefferson himself owned slaves. He had children with an enslaved woman. So it has really been a challenge, but I think an important time to consider again, you know, who we are as a community and what our values are, and to listen, I think, particularly to listen to people who are not always heard, you know, whose voices are often silent.
And it's so amazing that, you know, I appreciate you so much for pointing out the importance of hearing people whose voices are not always heard. And this is almost an ironic situation for residents of Charlottesville, because your voices were being heard for a short while as a city while the cameras were rolling.
Right.
Now the cameras are gone, but the aftermath continues. But we're not really getting an opportunity to hear residents of Charlottesville talk about what life has been like after the cameras had left and after the marching has stopped.
Yeah, That's right. And there have been a lot of conversations. For us as a ministry for Theological Horizons, it's been, I think, a time when we have had a great opportunity to be a part of the conversation and to especially invite students into talking about issues of race and about reconciliation and supporting those students of color, especially who are not always recognized even in the Christian community, because, you know, they are truly a minority here. And I think it's just easy for white students and white Christians to not even really consider that they may have a different experience, or they may have perspective that they really could share and want to share.
Mm-hmm. And it's because it can be so easy to not really be able to empathize with what people of color, students of color, Christians of color are going through if it's not an experience that the other students would ever have to know firsthand.
No. I mean, it's almost like it's white students, they can think about it or they cannot think about it. It's kind of it's almost a luxury.
Yes.
To consider. But for students of color, I mean, it's always there. I mean, these small interactions, large interactions. So I think for us as believers, we need to be a community and care for each other and know each other well and deeply. And that's a difficult thing to do, but I think it's what we are called to do, especially in this time and in this place.
I appreciate you so much for your sensitivity to that. And I thank you so much for having joined us today to discuss so much that is so important. Real talk about real life. The challenges of coming out of when we're trying to walk into a life of faith. And with that, including not only the individual walk, but the walk that we walk, the lives that we live as members of community. If you could, please tell us how we can get the book. And if you could also share information about your websites.
Yes. The book is called Vintage Saints and Sinners. It's on Amazon and Christian books. Distributors, and really anywhere. You can Google it. You can ask your bookseller to give you a copy of Vintage Saints and Sinners. And then I have a personal author website that's KarenWrightMarsh.com. And then Theological Horizons has a website, TheologicalHorizons.org. Those are big names, but I think if you Google these, search around a little bit, it shouldn't be hard to find. And I love to hear from people and would be more than happy to share resources, readings, or even just email exchanges or phone calls. This is my life and my passion. I love to hear with any of your listeners, Carl.
Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, please get that information. And again, her name is Karen Wright Marsh. That would be a great starting point as you go online to get more about her and maybe make that contact. Karen, thank you so much for having enriched our lives today.
Thank you, Carl. You've been a blessing and an encouragement to me as well. God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. Everybody, till next time.